Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Calls Media Roundtable. Later in the show, we'll discuss an investigation by The Appeal, which found executives at Palantir, private prison companies, and other corporations profiting from ICE's deportation system contributed almost $2 million to 168 members of Congress. That includes Republicans and Democrats. But first, we're discussing the Trump family's ongoing business deals and profits from the presidency. According to the Trump family digital grift wealth tracker from the House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform, the Trump family has collected almost $10 billion in profits, with as much as $600 million coming from foreign interests. On Tuesday, Yahoo Finance reported that the Trump family cashed in $2.3 billion from its crypto empire while investors got crushed. All eyes are now on the massive protests in Albania, where Jared Kushner and Ivanka Trump are working on a $4 billion luxury resort, which is now receiving widespread international media coverage after Ivanka Trump talked about how she found the island with David Cerna, the host of a show with entrepreneurs.
An incredible project with my husband in the Mediterranean. It's massive in scale.
I think that's an understatement. Can you explain?
Yes, it is. It is.
There's no power on this island. You're building everything from scratch, correct?
Well, it's an unbelievable, beautiful 1,400-hectare private island in the middle of the Mediterranean. We were on a friend's boat, and we stopped for a swim. Effectively, that's how we found it. We swam to the islands. We went on a hike, barefoot all the way up to the top, and we were just captivated. And it stayed with us ever since. And over the course of many years, we developed the opportunity to help realize its potential and transform it, but with a lot of restraint and care, because the land is so beautiful that really the architecture has to be fully integrated into it, almost rise from it. You know, it's not even a business for me, despite the scale of it. We not only the island, but we have 5 miles of beachfront directly across from the island, this beautiful peninsula with a lagoon on one side, the ocean on the other, beautiful white sand beaches. For me, it feels more like a challenge.
That is Ivanka Trump speaking with David Cerna, the host of a show with entrepreneurs. Those white sand beaches she's talking about are on protected land, and the island, Albania's only island, is public property. For the past 2 weeks, tens of thousands of Albanians have taken to the streets to oppose the government's decision to transform one of the Mediterranean's most ecologically sensitive areas into a playground for the ultra-wealthy. What began as protests against the development has grown into a broader movement challenging government corruption, environmental neglect, and the concentration of political power. The PBS NewsHour special correspondent Simon Ostrovsky took to the streets of Zervenik to interview people protesting. In this clip, you will hear from Albi Miftari, a tour guide, and Blujarno Bino with the Center for Science and Innovation for Development.
She discovered the island, right?
Yeah.
That was very funny. And the set at the same time. Well, we have only one island.
Yeah.
And I'm a tour guide and I go into that island like 60 times per year.
Yeah.
I wanna go another 60 times more. We need it. It's ours. We don't want to sell it.
Birjana Bino heads a think tank in Albania's capital, Tirana. She told the NewsHour Albanians were most concerned with the opacity of the proposal and that the government of Prime Minister Edi Rama had quietly worked with Kushner and Trump to make this project possible.
Ivanka Trump comes to Albania, has this private visit, meets privately with the Prime Minister and with architects. What is this project? What is the plan of the government? Who is this investor? We saw construction work there. That's why environmentalists protested and citizens protested. But there was no permission. There was no official documentation. For us, as citizens of Albania, this is an issue that has to do with this system, this political elite, and the lack of transparency and accountability that affects our daily lives.
Thanks to the PBS NewsHour for that clip. Joining us to talk about the latest from Albania and media coverage, given that this is getting so much attention now, is Erisa Krizjezu, an Albanian journalist with the independent media organization Citizens Channel, which publishes on the citizens.al platform. Erisa reports on social issues and human rights with a focus on labor, gender equality, marginalized groups, people with disabilities, and environmental issues. Hi, Erisa. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Rose. And good evening from Tirana, because here is evening.
Well, good evening. So Albania's population is about 2.75 million people. It is in Southeast Europe. It was interesting to hear Berzhan Albino talk about how the government quietly worked with Kushner and Trump. Just to give us a little bit of context, what do you think our listeners need to know about Albania and the current government that's in office?
In fact, Albania is formally a parliamentary democracy and a member of NATO, and it's formally a candidate country for European Union membership. And in terms of, let's say, its political system, it has multi-party election and regular changes of government. However, over the years, there have been persistent concerns about corruption and concentration of power, weak institution, and, let's say, limited government transparency and lack of transparency. As we see economically, Albania has undergone, let's say, a significant transition since the early 90s, as we were under a communist dictatorship until the 90s. And growth in recent years has been driven mainly in tourism, construction, and mostly from the remittance from the Albanian diaspora. Let's say that the Albanian diaspora is larger than the Albanian living itself in our country. But despite economic progress on paper, Albania still faces, let's say, structural economic challenges, because wages remain relatively low compared to Western Europe. Unemployment and informal work are persistent issues in certain sectors. The country continues to experience emigration and especially of young professional. This is the one reason why the current, let's say, protests resonate with people beyond environmental concerns. And on the other hand, the environmental significance of this area when it's built right now is the main reason the protests have gained so much support. Let's say for many protesters, the question is not whether Albania should develop, but who benefits from the development. And there is a growing perception that major projects often favor politically connected investors, while, let's say, ordinary citizens struggle with low wages and rising living costs and housing affordability and limited economic opportunity. What we see right now is that there is a frustration with broader issues such as economic inequality, corruption, and lack of accountability, and the feeling that important decisions about public, let's say, resources are now being made without meaningful public participation.
This is very important context, Erisa, because I'm sure that you've seen a lot of the media coverage that this is now getting, but most of it is focused on the interview that Ivanka Trump gave. I mean, we're talking MS Now, Financial Times, so much media attention on this because of that interview, but there's not much coverage about the Albanian government and what the Albanian people are actually dealing with. And it's about, as you say, it's about so much more than this luxury development when you look at the reason why so many people are taking to the streets.
Yes. In fact, today that we are talking, it's the 13th day of the protests. And this started at 31 May, and since 31 May, 6 p.m. has become now the meeting time for thousands of citizens who, for more than 2 weeks, have filled the squares with chants such as "Albania is not for sale," "Albania belongs to the Albanians and not to the oligarchs," and Thousands of citizens now have gathered in Skanderbeg Square, which is the main square in Tirana, and marched toward the Prime Minister's office, protesting against this project to build tourist resort in the protected area in Zvornec, which is in south of Albania. At the core of the opposition is the Zvornec Peninsula project, which, according to information published so far, foresees residential development, hotels and tourist infrastructure in one of the most ecologically sensitive area of the Albania coastline. The protests, whose symbols became the flamingo, because was dubbed, let's say, the flamingo revolution, because of the biodiversity that characterizes the area, hosting over 200 species, including flamingos, sea turtles, and the pelican. What we're seeing now in Tirana is much bigger than opposition to a single resort project. For 2 weeks now, thousands of people have gathered in the city center to, let's say, to demand that the government to stop development planning around the protected Vjosna Arsa ecosystem. But on the other hand, they are demanding that the project to go to the cancellation and to review all the permits and legal challenges, but also to resign the government. On the ground, in fact, the atmosphere is remarkably diverse because you see environmental activists, students, young families, and many young people who have never participated before in a protest, because this is not a political protest in terms of political party that are here in Albania. What unites them is the feeling that this is not about like protecting a wetland or a lagoon. Now it is about protecting the public interest, demanding accountability, and challenging a political culture where citizens often feel, let's say, excluded from decision that affect their future. The protesters argue that if development can move forward in one of the country's most sensitive protected areas, despite, let's say, public opposition and environmental concerns, then the issue becomes much larger than tourism. For many people in the street, this has become a conversation right now about corruption, a conversation about democratic participation, the rule of law, and who ultimately has a voice in shaping the Albanians' future. So the resort project remained the immediate trigger. The protests have become a broader civic movement calling for transparency and greater public accountability from those that who are in power.
What is the media landscape like in Albania, and how is this being covered by the local press?
In fact, let's say the protest itself has become a clear reflection of the media situation in Albania, because only a few independent media online has reporting on the protest and issues related to the project. Now that the movement has grown, it has become impossible for the mainstream media to ignore it completely. Much of the public information circulated first through social media and not traditional television. At the same time, there has been a lot of disinformation in major traditional media outlets with attempts to push the government narrative that the protests are organized by Greeks or driven by other conspiracy theorists. The propaganda machine and political spin doctors are working hard to cover up what is really happening. But most major TV stations, whether influenced by the government or by the opposition, initially ignore the issue of the protests. Many of them have now aligned directly or indirectly in the same front of disinformation, minimization, and attempts to undermine the protest. This is partly because the protest slogans target both major political leaders with chants such as Rama and Berisha in jail, Rama is our prime minister and Berisha is the leader of the opposition. For that reason, the Narta issue, the Narta it's called because the protected area, is now, and the wider protest movement had also been boycotted and downplayed by opposition alliance media. In this case, both sides of traditional media landscape, let's say, have failed the public. The disappointment is now visible even in the streets. What we see is protesters are openly calling for a boycott of the media outlets, the traditional one. Internationally, on the other hand, the protests have started to receive increasing attention from outlets. mainly, I guess, because of the involvement of high profile international investor. But the media landscape in Albania, if we took a larger view, it's concentrated and structurally vulnerable to political and economic influence. Albania has lost three places in the annual Press Freedom Report of Reporters Without Borders, ranking 83 out of 180 countries included in the index. 1 year ago, our country was ranked 18th. A significant portion of the media market is controlled by a small number of powerful owners, often with diversified business interests outside journalism. Let's say that one of the key structural issues is funding. State advertisement and public contract remain an important source of revenue for many media outlets, and this has created concern about, let's say, potential influence over editorial lines, or at least the perception or influence. In practice, this means that the media environment operates in a complex space where ownership concentration, financial dependency, and political proximity can all affect how stories are framed and how stories are prioritized. Some outlets maintain strong editorial independence and investigative capacity, while others are more aligned with political or business interests, let's say. So this is the situation about the media right now.
And what about independent outlets like yours, Citizens Channel? Mm-hmm. What is it like to be an independent journalist in Albania?
It's difficult in terms of funding, as our outlet media citizens.al and other outlet medias are mostly funded by donors and projects. So this is the only way how can you function and be independent in media landscape here in Albania. To see the media landscape in terms of television and other media, they have their main, let's say, owners are related with a project with the government and public transparency and stuff like this. So doing independent journalism in terms of the Albania situation, it's difficult, it's hard, but it's not impossible because you have to find all the times funds to make your job. And for us as a media organization, we are young people, all of us, small groups working, but we still do it with pleasure, and it's our duty to do it.
Hmm. Today we're speaking with Erisa Kryezu, an Albanian journalist with the independent media organization Citizens Channel. She reports on social and human rights with a focus on labor rights, gender equality, marginalized groups, people with disabilities, and environmental issues. And we are talking about the Trump family's digital grift wealth. All eyes are now on the massive protests in Albania, where Jared Kushner and Ivanka Trump are working on a $4 billion luxury resort. It is receiving widespread international attention with a focus on an interview that Ivanka Trump did with David Cerna. He's the host of a show with entrepreneurs. So as Erisa said, there have been protests happening for the past 2 weeks. People are taking to the streets to oppose the government's decision to transform the only island in Albania into a playground for the wealthy. They're also talking about government corruption, environmental neglect, the concentration of political power, and they are calling for free and fair elections. They're standing against a broken healthcare system, lack of medicine, unequal access to treatment for citizens. They say they want a modern, fair, and accessible education system that gives equal opportunity to all students. If you have any questions for Erisa, I'm sure that you've seen some coverage of this by now. You can give us a call at 866-798-8255. You can also email your call at kalw.org. Erisa, what are your thoughts about media coverage of really following the money here? Because Jared Kushner is the founder and chief executive of the investment firm Affinity Partners. They're behind the plans for this luxury development. According to Bloomberg, Saudi Arabia and the UAE backed affinity partners in hopes of gaining White House influence and investment returns. And Mother Jones has a very big piece out. There's a new book. We'll have to get this journalist on our show, Casey Michelle, United States of Oligarchy. And he's got a piece called They Went to Jared, How Donald Trump's Son-in-Law Used His Position to Hop in Bed with Autocrats and Sell Out America. So what are your thoughts about the media's coverage of the money behind a project like this?
It's true that the project has attracted significant international attention, not only because of its scale of, and location, let's say, but also because of Kushner's high-profile political connection and the son-in-law of United States President Donald Trump. But for what we know, and I think that the idea that the international media are coming in Albania and in Tirana especially and covering this is because of the big name that they had, Trump and Kushner. But what we know so far is that Jared Kushner has publicly promoted the project, but there is no public document showing that the either he or Ivanka Trump are legally behind it. However, what we know here in Albania and what media has proven, we have seen to the documents, is know that at the end in 2024, the Albanian government granted the strategic investor status to the Atlantic Incubation Partners, the company linked to Kushner. Giving the strategic investor means that you have facilities to construct and make big projects here in Albania using the public land. And according to the decision of the Strategic Investment Committee, the planned investments amount to 1.4 billion euros and the development of a tourism complex on part of the island. But let's say, according to Prime Minister Edi Rama, there are actually two projects in question, one for the island of Sazan and another for the Narta in Zvernet, which is near the island. The last, the Narta in Zvernet, which is near the island, was the main thing that brought all the people on the street protesting. And regarding the island of Sazan, the government said that it's still in negotiation and there is nothing concrete. But what we know is that Ivanka Trump and Jared Kushner were in Albania a few months before and they have a meeting with the Prime Minister and they have a meeting with architects, and nothing was clear what was going on. There was a lack of information even from the government. But what we have by paper on documents is that the company currently carrying out the works is Zvernet South Adriatic Development and is a kind of a trust, because the end of this ownership structure is connected to Amsterdam, to Holland. Leading to the holding company register, let's say, in the Netherlands. In addition, the project's environmental impact assessment identify one of the project stakeholders through assets groups, which is a company owned by one of the billionaires Al Kayat brothers, which is now had the ownership to the land and is the power holding. And for many protesters and civil society organizations, these ownership structures have further fueled concern about accountability and public oversight. The international, let's say, profile of the investor has certainly helped to bring global attention to the issue. But the concern being raised to the street are mostly about the lack of governance right now. I mean, to the Albanian citizens, for them, it doesn't mean who is doing this big resort. It's about what is happening with the future of Albanian natural heritage. And what I've seen from the international media, they are, of course, following the money and how it's spent here and the connection between these big names. But what do we know by papers here in Albania is the fact that we do not have still a project and the machine have been on the ground starting the work. And it all starts there when the police violated a protester and nothing happened. This created this big situation that we are, right now for 2 weeks. This is all what we know, that The Trump and the Kushner has been promoting the project, but on the ground, this is done by the local companies, Albanian ones or others.
And just briefly, Arisa, where do you see these protests going?
It's interesting, in fact, because let's say there are a lot of people around. It is a lot of lack of information, as I said before, and I don't know exactly to predict where these protests are heading, but what is clear is that after this protest, things will not be the same. Prime Minister Edi Rama has made it clear that the government sees this investment as part of its long-term development strategy, particularly in tourism and foreign investment. And statement like this, there is no chance for this investment to stop as long as I am here, as he quoted, at least in the short term, the government is unlikely to reverse course. On the other hand, what I see is the protests show no sign of being purely symbolic or short-lived. Even if they do not immediately change government policy, they are shaping public debate in Albania in a more fundamental way. In that sense, there are a few possible, let's say, directions as I see. One is that the protests continue as a sustained civic pressure campaign, similar to other environmental and anti-corruption movement in the region, keeping public attention and scrutiny on the project. And another is that they could influence the future policy standard, even if this specific project proceeds, by raising expectation around environmental assessment and public consultation. What is also important is the generational aspect. Many of the people involved and what I've seen on the streets are young and politically active for the first time, which suggests that even if this particular protest cycle slow down, let's say, the network and awareness created around it may continue to shape the future mobilization. So rather than a single end point, what we may be seeing is the beginning of a longer term shift in how parts of Albania society engage with the question of development, accountability, and environmental protection, of course.
Arisa Kryezu is an Albanian journalist with the independent media organization Citizens Channel. Arisa, thank you so much for your reporting and thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you. Coming up after a break, we will talk about the corporations profiting from ICE contracts, lining the pockets of politicians. This is Your Calls Media Roundtable. I'm Rose Aguilar. We'll be back after this.